Good morning, happy Easter. But today's reading comes from John chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. It's the empty tomb. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but didn't go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as a burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb, crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realise that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returned to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples for the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. Amen.
My topic title today is Resurrection Power. I don't know about you, but a couple of weeks ago we experienced a power cut. Did you experience a power cut? It was a bit unnerving if you weren't ready for it. Well, you're never ready for it, are you, really? It proved to me how reliant we've become on electricity. We rely heavily from power from the national grid to do all sorts of manner of things. You can't use your internet at home because it's plugged into electric. You can't turn on the light switch because there's no power. Hopefully you'll be able to find the candles and then the matches to see what you're doing. Or you can't even use the heating unless you've got an old-fashioned gas fire with the old click prezzo press, because the central heating works on an electric timer. And once the power goes, you've got no heating. So it becomes a bit of a problem. Unless you're very lucky to have solar panels on your roof, then you might be able to generate some of your own power. But we've become so heavily reliant on electricity that actually it's becoming a problem when they can't get electricity to your front door, as it were, through the cables. What do we do? Well, in our house, we can't use our oven, so we can't cook a meal, although we do have a gas hob. We can't use the microwave. I could have a bath, but we've got one of these clever boilers that heat the water, and there's no power to heat the boiler, so I can't have a bath. So there's a whole manner of things that we can't do when we haven't got electricity. Today, I want to talk about resurrection power. This is one of the central Christian truths that say about the resurrection that should be at work in our lives every day. That resurrection power of Christ should be at work in our lives every day, just as we have electricity coming to our front door. The resurrection power is the same power that raised Jairus' daughter from the dead, that called out demons, that healed lepers, that brought Lazarus back to life. The Spirit of God will never, ever lose its power. Do I get an amen for that?
Amen.
The Spirit of God will never lose its power. If Jesus was not raised from the dead, then there is no power today, for he's dead. Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians 15. If you've got your Bibles, you might just want to turn with that to me. 1 Corinthians 15, and we're looking at verses 12 to 20. Let me read this. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection from the dead? If there is no resurrection from the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him, if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death has come through man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. We know and we declare that Jesus is alive. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. The grave is empty, and he will come to judge the living and the dead again. You know, the resurrection was an amazing event. Wouldn't it have been nice to have been there? I wonder which character you might find yourself replaying this morning if you imagine yourself at the scene of the tomb and the stone rolled away. Would you have been the impetuous Peter rushing in, having to have a look? Or would you be Mary standing and weeping? The tomb was empty. Would you have believed, or would you have doubted? We all agree that the resurrection was a powerful event that changed the course of history. But today, I want to bring it down to what it means to us here right now. How does that resurrection power impact our life or our lives today, tomorrow, the next day, next year, and so on and so forth? The power of that event is tied up in one person, and that is Jesus. It is always about Jesus. It is always about him. It was his obedience that brought about this event, this cataclysmic event that took place. On Good Friday, we see him die. And then on Easter Sunday, we celebrate that resurrection power. Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, says these words in Philippians 3, verse 10. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Wow, what a statement that is. Shall I read that again? I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. That was Paul's aspiration. Paul said something very unique. I want to experience his resurrection power. I want to have that power working within me. We know what Paul was like. We know his early life. We know how he was transformed on the Damascus Road. We know how powerful and effective his preaching was, even when he was locked up in prison. And yet he writes these words to the church at Philippi that says, I want to experience the power that raised Jesus from the dead. I want that power working in my life. I wonder if we too are asking that same question of Paul this morning. It's a transforming power. You know, man has a problem, a big problem really, and it's the problem of sin, the disobedience to God. He made the rules, whether you want to accept them or not, and it doesn't change the truth that God is sovereign and everything works according to his plan. The Bible makes it clear that man's disobedience separated us from God. We have the story in Genesis of Adam and Eve. And Paul wrote these words in Romans 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way, death came to all men because all sinned. We are all born into sin with the propensity to sin. It says in Romans 3, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then 1 John 1, verse 8. If we claim to be without sin, on our own that is, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not within us. Sin separated man from God, and there was nothing we could do to change that problem, whether it's through our works or whether our desires. Nothing of ourselves could bring about that relationship back with God. We could not do anything about it. What could solve the problem? Well, the answer is one name and one name only, and it is Jesus. Thank you. He came to earth. He lived a sinless life. He gave his life, was resurrected, all to bring us back into fellowship with God. Through his resurrection, we have been given the opportunity to be changed and to come back to God in that relationship. Not coming back to him is like not coming back to a parent that has been perfect in every possible way. It says this in Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 10. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we are by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Isn't that amazing? He made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It was by grace that you have been saved, And God raised us up with Christ and is seated with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show his incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he has prepared in advance for us to do. To conquer, to subdue, to win, to overcome by force. John 10:10 talks about another force that's at play. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. These are the tools of the devil's trade. There was a lot that Jesus conquered and overcame on our behalf. But I want to focus on three events that reveal the conquering power of his resurrection very quickly. John 19 verse 1 says this: Jesus was flogged. The enemy was trying to steal, even at that point, steal his dignity, this is Jesus, and his strength. He was trying to break him at that point. This is what the enemy tries to do with us. Jesus went the distance. He ran the course. And that meant that every stripe meant a victory for us. And then in John 19, verses 17 and 18, we see that Jesus is crucified. The enemy wanted him killed, out of the way. This was the enemy's desire, but his blood purchased our salvation. And then in John 19, verses 38 to 42, Jesus is buried and sealed in the tomb by a stone. The enemy wanted to destroy him for good, to lock him away. No more mention of Jesus. He's buried in the tomb. But as we know, Jesus not only descended to set the captives free, but he also ascended, defeating the evil one, defeating death and conquering sin. The Bible declares that on the third day, Jesus was resurrected from the grave. Death and hell and the grave could not hold him. No matter how hard the enemy tried, Jesus could not be stopped. Isn't that amazing? And Paul says, going back to what Paul said, Paul wants to experience that resurrection power that cannot be stopped, that resurrection power of Christ that cannot be conquered by evil. That's why the words declare in Romans 8 that we are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. So we must realize that whatever we are facing, whatever challenges, we have the ability to tap into that resurrection power of God to help us overcome. The resurrection gives us hope of continual victory, not in ourselves, but in the power of God. It is his strength, his power. There is no storm, there is no valley, there is no attack that God cannot handle on our behalf. Do you believe that this morning? That there is no attack, there is no valley, there is no storm in which we cannot experience God's power at work in our lives. May we be like Paul, that wants to experience that working of the resurrection power. It says in Ephesians 1, verses 18, I pray also that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fulfills everything in every way. Through that transforming power, God brings a confirming power as well. A confirming power. It talks in Romans 12 about, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. God knew what was to happen with his son Jesus. And he is in the business of enabling us to come and to be living disciples of Jesus. In many ways, we are like that clay on the potter's wheel, being formed and shaped and conforming to the hands of the Savior that is at work in us. He is the one who is shaping our lives. He is the one that's knocking off the knobbly bits, or the dry bits, or the bits that need attention. He is the one that is at work in our lives, whether we realize it or not. Do you realize that God is at work this morning? Do you realize that God is at work this morning? Are you sure? Good. God is at work. It says in Philippians 1, verse 6, be confident that this, that he who began a good work in you will see it to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. He is at work. And if he is at work, what is happening? We are being transformed into his likeness. It is all about Jesus. God wants to enable that resurrection power to bring a confirmation upon each one of us that says that we belong to Christ. We are his. Nothing can separate us from his love. But just like you have to throw a light switch to enable the power to work, so you have to be open to the power of God working in your life. If you don't enable God to have that opportunity to work in you, you'll never know what that power of God is like working through you. We can do nothing in our own strength, and yet with Christ we can do all things. It is that resurrection power that works in our lives that enables us to do the things that we could only dream or imagine about. God's power, as we've said, is unlimitless. Is that right? Limitless. No, thank you. Limitless. It's limitless. That you cannot measure it. You cannot contain it. You cannot put it in a box. It goes beyond the measure of scale of anything that we know, and yet God wants to pour that power, his Spirit, upon you. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead, as Scripture says, lives in us, me, you. Did you hear that? The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Thank you. It lives in you. Wow. I don't think you've grasped it. I really don't think you've grasped it. There's no excitement on your faces. You're looking pan-faced at me. The power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you and me. Am I getting excited about nothing here? Come on. The power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Whoa. Whoa. This is just, it's incredible, isn't it? It is incredible. Those that are going to Spring Harvest, you're going to experience that, I know. But we're here too going to experience it every day. That is the promise of Christ, that he said that every day we can live in the reality of God's Spirit working in us. Every day. That power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Yes. Yes. It's the best hidden secret the church has. It's not a secret. But we treat it as a secret, don't we? How often do we allow the power of God to work through us? When we're in that right place. That sense that when God is at work, he's at work. Don't limit him. Don't let Easter morning be a damp squid. But let the power of Easter morning do something great. Let it inspire you. Let it lead you. Let it lead you to new pastures that are on the other side, that are far away at the moment, but God wants to lead you to them. Because great is his blessing. Great is his riches. I didn't know where that came from, but hey, praise God this morning. You've got the message, haven't you? The resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. If you remember nothing else of what I've said this morning, please remember that. That the power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you this morning, Lord, for that resurrection story. We thank you, Lord, that because of you, we can know your Spirit at work in our lives. Father, no matter what mountain we face, no matter what turmoil we might be in, no matter what problems come, we know that we can find a security in you. For you live in us, and we, Lord, say thank you this morning for inhabiting with us. Thank you that your Spirit lives within us. But Lord, let us not limit you in any way. But Lord, let us enable ourselves to be open to what you want to do. Lord, like switching on a light switch, let's invite you in. And let's allow you to take control. Because you only want good things for us. You only want to see us thrive and flourish and do amazing things for the kingdom of God. So let this Easter Sunday be the message that we've heard, that you are inhabiting with us, that the power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in each one of us. And we say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for what you've done. May your name be praised forever and ever and ever. Amen.